Welcome to Watching Bloomington with your host, Barry Lesso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington, where each week we have a chance to talk with a different community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And this morning we have with us Suzanne Donnelly. Suzanne's the nutrition manager at Area 10 Agency on Aging. Good morning, Suzanne. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you.
Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about what Area 10 Agency on Aging does?
Well, Area 10 Agency is a resource for community members for those that with disabilities and over the age of 55. And so we have everything from housing, transportation, information on Medicare, Medicaid. We also have what's called our NRIGHT centers, which are opportunities for folks for education, computer, exercise programs, and we have a site here in Ellettsville and then a secondary site called NRIGHT East that's at the mall in Bloomington proper. And so we have care managers that help coordinate with outside agencies. We have, they also help working with supported living situations, helping families getting their loved ones into the right situation, basically, whether it's outside of their home or getting services into their home. And so that's what we do.
Just a few things.
Just a few.
And you now, you specifically, you work with nutrition services. And
right.
So tell us a little bit about what that includes.
So we have two halves to our department. And I work predominantly in what's called HDM, which is home delivered meals, and our congregate meal programs. Congregate meal programs are site-based where people can actually go and sit together and have a meal. So obviously this past almost 2 years has been a little bit interesting because we've been closed down. We recently just opened up a couple of our sites towards the end, middle of July, and then everybody opened up in August with protocols obviously in place for sanitizing stations and for distancing and mask wearing. And so we are doing those things, and folks are starting to come back and enjoy having a meal together again. Our congregate sites are basically by donation only. We don't charge per meal, but we do ask for a $2.50 donation to help continue the program. And then our home-based services, we have a slew of volunteers that help deliver hot meals to people in the community, both in Monroe and Owen County. And it's, you know, a lot of people think about Meals on Wheels. Well, we're very similar to Meals on Wheels. We're just not Meals on Wheels. ours is actually called More Than a Meal Program. And it gives an opportunity for a volunteer to kind of have that face-to-face contact to know that person is okay. A lot of the people we deliver to, we are who they see. And we deliver hot meals 3 days a week on average, with an option for frozen meals for the days that we're not there. And there is a qualifying component. If folks need financial assistance, they have to go in through our intake and resource department to see where they would fall on the scale for qualifying for financial assistance. But we also have a private pay option where people can sign up for meal services and just simply pay out of pocket. And our other half is what we call mobile food pantry. And our mobile food pantry is a once a month supplemental grocery delivery. Basically, folks who sign up for the service get two additional bags of groceries per month. We try to take into consideration if folks have food allergies or sensitivities as best as we can. We are partnered with Hoosier Hills Food Bank, as well as we do food drives for raising food to deliver to folks. And there are qualifications for that as well. You do have to be, again, over the age of 55 or disabled and not driving. That's a big part of it. If you have access to transportation, you can figure out how to get your groceries. So we are really trying to focus on folks who are homebound, folks who have limited resource to get transport to pick up groceries. And so we try to supplement that on a monthly basis. And we have a slew of volunteers that help deliver. We couldn't do it without our volunteers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we deliver over 300 people a month for mobile food pantry and additional people between HDM and congregate.
Whew, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So when you, interesting in your title, More Than a Meal, you know, talk about a little bit too. So you said sometimes, you know, this is the only person that someone sees. I would imagine that that's been rough, and especially during the pandemic. So is that social contact important to people?
It is so critical. And I think, you know, when you're in the working field, a lot of times, you know, you come home and you're like, oh, I just don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. But a lot of our folks who are retired, you know, these are situations where there is no extended family, or, you know, maybe extended family lives in, you know, California or whatever. Yeah. Sorry, my mask fell down. You know, they don't have that routine face-to-face contact. We have worked diligently since COVID hit in trying to expand virtual opportunities, doing classes about Zoom, doing classes with folks. We have what's called a GrandPad program, where folks can actually basically rent an iPad where they can communicate with folks and not just be isolated in their home. And it's a tough road when folks are isolated, whether it's through financial or transportation needs, or simply a lack of family. If there's not an extended family or a connection to any type of group that they're a regular participant in especially this past, you know, year and a half, folks have been relying, whether it's on the kindness of strangers, literally. So we've been doing things like making phone calls to people. We have a group of volunteers that's literally what they did for weeks on end, was just calling and checking in with people. You know, making sure their needs are met. Are they getting their medications like they're supposed to, picked up from the, you know, pharmacies and things like that, helping arrange for transport to maybe pick up groceries through rural transit. And so that's, I mean, basically trying to keep people who are isolated slightly less isolated. It's a pretty critical component to mental health. You know that there is a connection, not that you have to connect all the time, but that there is a connection out there. And that's a piece that we've tried to continue to foster. And even with our congregate sites closed, we were actually doing weekly pickups, where we do called grab and go. People would come by, pick up meals. And so they'd have at least that opportunity to see someone. And so that was a big component that we've tried to continue to foster.
Have you seen people, now that the congregate sites have reopened, are you seeing people returning to the congregate sites, or word getting out?
They definitely are. You know, I think there was a lot of hesitation to start with, obviously, like, how is this going to work? How are we going to be safe? And, you know, we just took it a piece at a time of checking in with people, you know, doing, you know, we, for a while, everybody was like, if you went to a doctor's office, do you have any of these symptoms? Do you have, you know, we went through those same kind of protocols. It's too important, especially with our population is one of the most vulnerable populations.
Right.
The last thing we need to do is, you know, make any situation worse. And so we set up hand sanitizing stations, and, you know, a couple people would come and kind of check it out, see how it's working. Oh, okay, this is working great. They tell a friend, you know, whether it's talking on the phone or somebody that's in their little pod of people that they normally, you know, are around. Hey, you got to come do this, come check this out. And so we are seeing a slow kind of uptick in folks coming and having a meal together. And like I said, we've had our tables set up a little further apart, and, you know, instead of eight people sitting around a table, there's four people on a table and things like that. So, but it's been going well.
Great. I know. So yeah, obviously you've had to make some adjustments. So.
Yeah.
With, you know, the nutritional component of it too, you know, a lot of times, you know, is that difficult for people to get the nutrition that they need too?
It is. And especially we see with our seniors, you know, a lot of folks, cooking becomes a hassle. It's, you know, one more thing they have to do. And, you know, I did lose my father last year, but one of the things I experienced was watching him, like, I'm just not hungry. But if I would come over and eat with him, he would always eat a meal. And more and more we're seeing in our seniors, if there's not someone there to have a meal with, you know, they might have, you know, something more of a snack as opposed to a meal. And so we're seeing declines in nutritional balance, in weight loss, in things like that. And so we actually work with Midland Meals, which is a food provider out of Lafayette that works, all of their meals are approved by the USDA for seniors over the age of 55 to meet their nutritional needs. Mm-hmm. So they're considered heart healthy, reduced sodium, things like that. But they're also slightly higher calorie count, which is funny. People like, you know, oh, I need the low calorie. It's like, our seniors actually need a little higher calorie because most of them are eating one or two meals a day, as opposed to the traditional, mm-hmm. you know, have your breakfast, have your lunch, have your afternoon snack, have your dinner. You know, they're just not eating like that anymore. And so we have, you know, we partner with that specifically because of those issues to make sure that mm-hmm. they're getting the calories and the variety that they need. Just, you know, eating that turkey sandwich, I get on my father-in-law about the, you know, the turkey sandwich is great, but what about, you know, maybe some cottage cheese and some carrots, or, you know, maybe something a little bit more from a variety standpoint to make sure you're meeting all of those little pieces of nutritional needs.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's harder too, if you're cooking for yourself, you don't necessarily want to do all that.
It is. And exactly, going through all that. And also even just shopping in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. If you're purchasing, you know, some of those little cans of vegetables or the little things, they cost more. Mm-hmm. And most of our seniors are on a fixed income. Mm-hmm. And cooking for one becomes even more problematic because it's impacting them financially. Mm-hmm. And, or if they are purchasing the, what I call the regular priced items, then there's a potential for food waste. Mm-hmm. And so trying to find that balance between not wasting, addressing budget, and still meeting nutrition. And that's just a big piece of what we do.
Mm-hmm. No, that sounds very important. Now, you had talked about too, about doing the mobile food pantry and doing the deliveries. So you said you work with Hoosier Hills Food Bank. Do you have people bring donations as well to support that?
We do. So throughout the year, we actually do a couple big pushes. We call them stuff-a-buses. Obviously, again, with the way things have been, we've had to kind of modify those things. Mm-hmm. And we've actually gone to organizations and bringing food barrels mm-hmm. and putting up request lists of items that we need. Mm-hmm. And so the hope is maybe, because usually the first week of December and then again in May, we do two big stuff-a-bus programs where mm-hmm. we park a bus literally at a grocery store, usually at Kroger's, and people stand, we hand out little lists of what we need and mm-hmm. encourage folks to please donate. And they mm-hmm. sometimes they'll come out with just a few items, and we've had folks come out with three grocery sacks to mm-hmm. donate and stuff our bus. And then we come back and weigh the food and put it into our pantries mm-hmm. to give out to our clients. And a lot of times it kind of becomes a lot of fun because like Bell Trace and Meadow, where they have little competitions of who gets the most food. So we have to weigh everything so they can have bragging rights. Nobody wins anything other than
absolutely
done something really amazing. And so that's a big portion of what we do. And we have barrels always in front of our building for folks to drop off if they're like, oh, you know what? I've got this three jars of peanut butter. I don't, you know, my kid's not eating peanut butter anymore, whatever. Feel free to drop it off. So as long as it's sealed and it's the date is current, we can take it. Food's obviously shelf stable is more important because we have mm-hmm. limited refrigerator and freezer capacity. We do mm-hmm. deliver those items, but we do have a capacity limit on that even more so. Mm-hmm. But that's a big component too of mobile food pantry is delivering two full bags of groceries, not just, you know, here's mm-hmm. six cans of this and here's, you know, I don't know, a box of cereal and a loaf of bread. Like it's not that we want to actually, a menu is created to try to look at meals, putting together meals. So it might be two cans of tuna and some pasta and some cream and mushroom soup. So you're looking at like a little mm-hmm. casserole kind of thing. Some fruits and vegetables. Now they might be canned, usually are, but still a necessary mm-hmm. item. And so folks are getting two full bags of groceries, including snacks and goodies when we can get them too. Mm-hmm. Because that's just as important, you know, just the little things, that the little perks that make your day like, ooh, there's fixings in there, you know, or something fun.
That's the best food group.
Yeah.
So with that, so the barrels are outside the your facility so people can drop off. Are there any particular things you mentioned, peanut butter? Are there other things like that that are helpful for people?
Proteins.
To drop off?
Proteins in general are tough. Canned chicken, canned tuna, peanut butter, beans, black beans, pinto beans, things of that nature are always important. And just vegetables and fruits, you know. It's really great when we can do like the little single cups of applesauce or the little peaches and things. Mm-hmm. Again, we were talking about those, you know, the consumables where people are, if you have to open the big can of whatever, mm-hmm. and some folks are trying to be nice. Right. They buy us these giant cans, like the, we call them number 10 cans of corn or things like that. We can't do anything with those other than pass them on to the community kitchen who can then use them mm-hmm. in a dish there. We need, think about the individual, think about this being mm-hmm. for a one or two meal situation and keeping that in mind when you're shopping. Mm-hmm. we're generally feeding, you know, bringing these sacks of groceries to a single person trying to remain in their home, mm-hmm. And trying to supplement them being able to stay.
Very nice.
Yeah.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Now, you mentioned too a couple times that volunteers have been really core to your operation. So can you talk
Absolutely.
A little bit about what kind of tasks volunteers would do and what kind of need for volunteers you have right now?
We do have a need for volunteers. So basically our volunteers are either, we call them setup and drivers. So some folks do setups, and setup is literally packing the grocery sacks. It's a once a month commitment for about 2 hours, usually on Wednesdays in the morning, usually between 9 and 11 or 10 and noon. Drivers, very similar. They come to pick up the packed groceries. They have a route sheet that tells them where to go to drop off. It's usually anywhere from 8 to 10 different addresses, and they try to keep them like a route in an area as opposed mm-hmm. to like, oh, you're going to go to Owen County and then you're going to head back over to, like, no. We try to keep them as ordered as we can, and still making sure we're getting to everybody. But that commitment is, again, usually about a 2 hour commitment once a month. Pickup starts at 11 a.m., I believe. And like I said, most people are done with their routes in approximately an hour and a half ish. And that's basically the two big requirements are the packaging or the delivering. Now, for mm-hmm. me, my delivery routes are usually 3 days a week or 1 day a week, depending upon what the person's availability is. But we do ask mm-hmm. for the commitment for at least 1 day a week, mm-hmm. Which is obviously a little bit more of a commitment. But our routes are also a little bit shorter. So ours mm-hmm. are probably less than an hour for that mm-hmm. one time a week. Which is, mm-hmm. you know, the difference of 4 hours a month versus 2 hours a month.
Sure.
That's basically what we do. We get you, you have to fill out a little application for volunteer. You do have to have a valid driver's license and reliable transportation. And if you have a particular area that you would rather work in or deliver in, we try to mm-hmm. accommodate that as well. We have a lot of retired seniors who are driving that are volunteering because they've been there, done that. This is uh-huh. now something that they like to do in their spare time. And it's been fantastic. We've seen with the pandemic, it's also created a whole new batch of volunteers. We have seniors farmers market vouchers that we do. That's a USDA sponsored program for seniors to get $20 in market vouchers to buy produce, fresh produce. Mm. But how are they going to get there? Mm-hmm. And so we've created a volunteer network that goes shopping on Saturdays for our seniors.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And we are short some drivers right now for our mobile food pantry. Mm-hmm. So if anyone is interested in signing up, just jump on our webpage. It's area10agency.org. Pretty easy to find. And there's a volunteer spot, and just check, click on that. And if you're interested in nutrition or food services, it asks, you know, what are you interested in? mobile food pantry or home delivered meals. And either myself or Lisa, my counterpart, would call you back and be like, hey, how you doing? Want to come do some stuff?
Come over now, please.
Yeah. Like I said, for mobile food pantry, deliveries are usually Wednesdays or Thursdays. Mm-hmm. For mine, it's a little bit different because we have deliveries depending what area you're in. Some one of my sites is Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Another one is mm-hmm. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Another one is Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So it varies depending where you would want to be or where the need is. And I actually just got two new drivers, so I'm all set for HDM right now, but I know that Lisa needs some mobile food pantry mm-hmm. folks.
Wonderful. And just in general, just I'm sure too, if people can help doing that, that's great. And I know you have other volunteer opportunities also through your Caring Companions program and other things like that.
Absolutely. I was going to say, between Caring Companions and RSV, which is our mm-hmm. Retired Seniors Volunteer Program, there are all different kinds of opportunities. Like we were talking about the phone calls earlier. Mm-hmm. That was a big piece of Caring Companions mm-hmm. because they couldn't go in the home. They couldn't visit. Mm-hmm. So we started phone calling. We started making connections that way just to continue that contact. Little check-ins could mean the difference between, oh, hey, mm-hmm. have you had any doctor's appointments? You know, did you have to follow mm-hmm. up with stuff? Just keeping them thinking, keeping them motivated mm-hmm. and connected. And mm-hmm. that's exactly what RSV and Caring Companions is about, is folks who are isolated and or alone, letting them know that they really aren't. And that's just a really big piece of what we do, is connecting community to more community.
That's well said. And thank you so much. I can't top that one. So Suzanne, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Again, if you're interested in volunteering or get in touch, the website is area10agency.org. Mm-hmm. Give Suzanne, get a hold of her and see if you can get involved and volunteer.
Absolutely. So Suzanne, thank you so much, Denise, for taking this time with us this morning.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. This has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Carl Lamb, attorney at law. For 37 years, Carl Lamb has been a premier attorney in South Central Indiana, helping his clients through extremely difficult times, drawing on his experience, reputation, and responsiveness. For a free initial consultation, call Carl Lamb today at 812-332-1420. Want more? Listen to full episodes on our website at whcc105.com and wbwb.com.